Good morning. Thank you, Pastor. From the moment I came in the house this morning, I have sensed your love. I have been so humbled by how you've received me. I know that I am your sister and that I am welcome in this house. You have blessed me. You have allowed the Holy Spirit to run this service from the very beginning. Thank you, worship team. Thank you for allowing the Holy Spirit to use you. I tell you what, I feel wrecked this morning. Holy Spirit was just screaming at my heart. And I, you know, when that happens, because we come together with hearts ready to hear from him, amen? And we set this atmosphere that says, God, we're ready for you. And thank you for that. Thank you. God's doing a good thing here at West Hudson. This is awesome. I'm a little blown away. The Holy Spirit's just been speaking to me. Forgive me, I had out my phone. I wasn't texting anybody. I was grabbing some of those songs because they were just speaking to my heart and right where I'm at. And I just was like writing those down. I'm going to get those. I'm going to be listening to those and worshiping the Lord with those. That was great. This is amazing just to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Oh, you know, I came in this morning and I have such memories because this is one of the first places I came back in like 96, 97. How many of you have been around that long? Yeah. And Pastor Frank and Linda were here back in the day. We did some kids stuff. I remember going downstairs and having some kids ministry from some kids from the neighborhood. And it's interesting because I know Frank and Linda, I actually followed them in Berkeley Heights in the ministry that they had there in the church there in Berkeley Heights. And so came on as their children's pastor there so many years ago. But wow. But through the years, you've always welcomed me. You've always said, come on back. And you've always been faithful to support me in giving for sure, and I'm pretty sure that the prayers have been just as faithful. I think so. I mean, you know me here this morning. There's a whole lot of neck hugging that went on that I knew that you remember me, that we have a relationship, and that God has allowed us to partner together to make a difference in the world here in New Jersey, but also in a faraway place called Micronesia, Kotrai, most recently. And remember the days of Kitabus? Yeah. Oh, I'm going to tell you a little bit about that. God's doing some good things. So I am excited to be here this morning. Micronesia, the tiny islands of the Pacific. Isn't it beautiful? I mean, it really is. Like, I just can't get enough. The road that runs, most of the pictures here this morning will be from Kotrai, but the road that runs around the island, like it's all right by the sea most of the way, and I find myself stopping and taking another picture and another picture, because it is an absolutely beautiful world. There's no question about it. Palm trees and beaches. And next slide, we'll show those beautiful mountains as well. Go ahead and hit that next slide if you don't mind. And I mean, it's just gorgeous. It really is. There's no question about it. It's a pretty, pretty place. But I want to show you the real beauty. Look at that next slide. That's it. You know, the sunsets will captivate you for a little while, but those little lives are what keep me going. Those little ones who are so open to the heart of Jesus. And I just thank God for the opportunity he's given me to minister in so many ways. In Kotrai, in Kitabus over the years, in Marshall Islands many years ago, but especially to the children and the open door that God has allowed me. Aren't they precious? Oh, we bless them. I enjoyed your children here this morning. I love it. I can tell they are welcome here. They are part of the family. We're not just shoving them out of here because they make too much noise. They were dancing with us. I love it. That's great. You keep loving kids. That's the way it's got to be. Amen? Amen. Micronesia, a place where I eat tuna fish for lunch. Go ahead and hit that slide. Do you eat tuna fish like that? Oh, yeah, that's good. Well, let's put some perspective to this whole thing. Go ahead and hit that next slide, and you're going to take a look at a part of the world known as Pacific Oceania. Now, do you see all those tiny little blue dots? That's Oceania. That's the islands of the Pacific. And as many as there are, you probably never thought there were so many. That's not even all of them. That's just a portion. But each of those islands represents a people, often with different languages, different cultures, a people that Jesus created, that God created in his own image, that they would come to know him, to walk with him, to live with him, and be his own children. You know, I get a little annoyed sometimes. Because I'll go by, you know, even in churches, I'll go by and they have these great missions maps on the wall. Now, I didn't see yours yet, so forgive me if I'm going to step on toes. But I'll see these great maps, and they show all the continents. And I want to pull out my Sharpie. Because, like, where's the islands? There's a whole lot of islands out there that we cannot forget. And I love it that God didn't forget the islands of the Pacific. Go ahead and hit that again. And I'm going to show you that region that's known as Micronesia. So Pacific Oceania is actually made up of three different groups of islands. You've got Micronesia, that's that circle there. Polynesia, more towards the east. And then the southwest there is Melanesia. Huge areas. Plenty of different islands, and in just that little circle of Micronesia, there's about 2,000 islands. Everybody say, wow. About half of those are inhabited, and many of those speak a different language, different culture. There is so much need. I like to believe that God has the islands on his heart. And I believe that the Word of God makes that really clear. Go ahead and look at that next slide. I love this. This is from The Message. And it says this. It says, far-flung ocean islands. They're about as far-flung as you can get, right? Far-flung ocean islands wait expectantly for his teaching. You see, God didn't forget about the islands. He said, here's a need here. There's islands out there, and they are waiting for the word of God. They are waiting for truth. They are waiting for, oh, this is great. Thank you. They are waiting for, they are waiting to know the truth. Now, I'm going to tell you that Micronesia is not a place where people do not know the name of Jesus. As a matter of fact, on a Sunday morning, most people, 50% or more, go to church. Sounds good, right? So people get up, they go to church, they put on the right clothes, they parade into church, and they stand up when they're supposed to, and they sit down when they're supposed to, and they say this and they say that, and they go home, and their lives, for the most part, are not changed. You see, Micronesia is a place where many people know about Jesus, but they don't have a true relationship with him. There are people who can spout out every Bible story because they've heard them since they're small, but they don't let it apply to their lives. I grew up in that kind of church where you kind of check off. I went to church on Sunday. I did that. I heard that message. I said those prayers. I did that, and now everything's good. I'll be back next week. But how many of you know that God's called us for more than that? And that God has called us to be his own children who would walk with him, who would talk with him, who would say yes to him, who would follow his call. When I think about those far-flung ocean islands, it makes me think of a frisbee. You know, we fling frisbees, right? And I can see God on creation day, and this is not big biblically sound, forgive me, but I kind of get this picture in my head of God going, okay, I'm going to throw one over here and another one over here. Of course, we know he didn't really do that. He spoke, and those islands were formed, right? We know that it came from his, but I get this picture of God choosing to place these isolated islands in places that most people will never venture. And today, many of them are still waiting. They're still waiting for the truth of who Jesus really is and how he came to change us. Pastor, this is for you. You ready? I'm not very good at it. Forgive me. So, let's go through my story a little bit. I went the wrong way. There we go. I got it now. Okay, so 25, almost 26 years ago, I started in a place called the Marshall Islands. I want you to take a look at that. Inside that pink circle is that area known as Micronesia, okay? And I served there for 2 years as a missionary associate. Now, I don't know if you know what that means, but in the Assemblies of God, we have this great program that helps people get started in missions. And the way it is you go out and you serve under other missionaries. And so this is what I did. I made a 2-year commitment and I served under missionaries Jerry and Karen Jacob. I don't know if you know them. They're up at North Point right now serving as missionaries in residence. They're New Jersey missionaries. They've been throughout this district for years. But I went and I served with them in the Marshall Islands. And God got just amazing things. God just opened my heart. I knew I wanted to do it some more. And I planned to go back to the Marshall Islands, my plans. I felt like God had put something on my heart. But when it came to it, when it came down to the wire, that door closed to me. I was a bit heartbroken, I'll tell you that, because I was like, but God, you know, the children in the Marshall Islands, I feel like you've given me a vision for them. But, you know, from there, God opened up the door for me to go to Kitabas. And how many of you remember me talking about Kitabas? Yeah. Kitabas, for 13 years, just about 13 years, I served in a really underdeveloped nation in Micronesia known as Kitabas. And God allowed me just to grow and to be a blessing, like amazingly, because I felt so unprepared in so many ways. But isn't that great that when we feel unprepared, that makes us lean harder and God does amazing things and we grow. So for 13 years, I poured into the lives of children, of pastors. I was actually working with our Bible school there, of churches, and really just helped to develop the church there. And God just did amazing things. And in 2010, I had to leave. And it wasn't my desire. It actually broke my heart. And I thought, God, what are you doing? I'm not done. There's still things I feel like you've given me to do, Lord. Break my heart, Lord. But you know, God is good. And from there, I went to this island of Kauchai. And so I've been in Kauchai for 8 years, about a little over 8 years. And God has just been using me there. And I work with one little church on one little island. Kauchai is only 42 square miles, about 6,000 people. So like just about everybody on island knows who I am. I've had the opportunity to touch a whole lot of lives. I better behave because they know me, you know. But God did some really neat things and helped me to encourage the church and bring them along. We did a lot in kids ministry, and we took the gospel to kids in every village. And we did this through a program. I hate saying that word program. It sounds so unspiritual. But we felt God leading us to go out. We put together this plan that we call Kids Fun in the Sun, and we took Kids Fun to every village. So this is in the village of Layla. We went to the village of Walong to get here. Even though we were on the same island, there's like no road through the jungle to get here, so we had to get on a boat, load all our stuff. How many of you know with kids you got a lot of stuff? And we went over there and we just blessed the kids there. And reach out to them and give them the opportunity to really know Jesus, to really know him. And so we did that there in Walong. I got it. Thank you, Pastor. You're so kind. And not only that, we did this in our own church, and we reached out to the children in the neighborhood there in the village of Malam. And everywhere we went, we saw that God was just really ministering to the hearts of children and opening hearts. And there's something beautiful about the islands, you know. America has gotten to be a scary place for children, hasn't it? And because of that, you know, there's so much protection that needs to be put about children, and I totally understand that. But in the islands, you come into a village, and there's like just kids everywhere, and you know, some of them are playing in the water, and some of them are climbing coconut trees, and you come into the village, and they see my car, and they come running, kids fun, osh, kids fun, are we having kids fun today? And yeah, go tell your friends, and they go, and before you know it, you got 50, 60 kids coming to join you. And we don't need permission slips, we don't need to put up posters, we just show up, and they show up. Because kids are free. It's a beautiful opportunity. It's a window of opportunity that we need to take advantage of. About a year ago, I knew that this furlough time was coming up. And as a missionary, an Assembly of God missionary, we generally do about a four-year term. The fifth year we do, we come back here and we connect with our partners, with you, so that we can tell the story, so that we can raise a bit more support, so that we can get you on board. We want to keep you on board. We want you to be involved. And so I knew this time was coming and it was going to bring a break. And I said, God, what do you have for me? And it was about a year ago that God began to unfold a dream in my heart that is so much bigger than me. That scared me, I'm going to tell you, and it's still scaring me a little bit. Only because I keep my eyes on me sometimes and not on him. And God began to say, Diane, I want to do something new. And he began to show me all those unfinished tasks as I left island by island. God began to show me that God is giving me a new mission field that's a whole lot broader than just one little island. And when I go back, Lord willing, by the end of this year, October, November, I hope to go back. God is saying, Diane, I want all of Micronesia to be your mission field. I don't want you to be stuck on one little island, but you know, we're really limited in missionaries. As a matter of fact, that whole region right now for missionary has me, and I'm on furlough, and another family, and that's it. That's it. And it's like, wow. There's so much need. You have no idea. There is so much need. And sometimes we overlook places like these islands because, you know, if you read the statistics, it says they're 95% Christian. Can I tell you something? That's not true. I know. I live there. Just because people go to church doesn't make them a Christian, right? So you walk into a barn, doesn't make you a cow, does it? No. And you walk into a garage and it doesn't make you a car. And you walk into a church and you might even go there regularly, but that doesn't make you a Christian. And there's a message of life and grace that needs to be preached throughout this island. You see, they've held on to a path of legalism for far too long. Do this, don't do that. Make sure everything looks good on the outside. And we tend to compare ourselves. In legalism, we compare ourselves and we think, well, I look better than him, so I must be okay. Which means I lean on what I can perform, and I don't lean on the grace of Jesus Christ. And there's just such a brokenness in the islands where people need to be woken up to the grace. As a matter of fact, Koh Shai is known as the island of the sleeping lady. And there's a great viewpoint, and you'll see one of the pictures a little later, I'll point it out to you, where you can see this range, this mountain range that actually looks like a woman sleeping, okay? And there's this sleeping lady, and God gave me a name for her. And he said, her name is Grace. Because I want to wake up grace on this island. I want to wake up grace, and I don't mean an earthquake that's going to shake the land. I mean an earthquake that's going to shake hearts and turn hearts back to him. And God wants to do something in the islands. And God says, Diane, I don't want you staying anymore in just one little church. I want you to get out there, and I want you to start impacting each and every of those places. Now I tell you what, this is huge. And I'm like, okay, God, how do I do that? And he says, okay, just walk with me. I got this, you know. But Micronesia actually is comprised of seven different nations and territories. Okay, so it includes the Marshall Islands, where I started. It includes the nation of Kiribati, where I went from there. It includes the nation called the Federated States of Micronesia, of which Koh Shai is one of those states. Okay, there's four states, Yap, Chuuk, Ponape, and Koh Shai. And then it also includes the nation of Palau. I was actually there at the end of September. It includes a place called Guam. Oh, well, that sounds familiar. It's U.S. Such a U.S. territory, right? It also includes a place called the Northern Mariana Islands, the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands. It includes which includes islands like Saipan. You heard of Saipan? Yeah, we're getting a little recognition here, right? Saipan, Tinian, Rota, there's a number of islands up there. It also includes a place called Nauru. Now, Nauru is this tiniest little place, but I tell you, you know what's amazing about Nauru? It's this little island. And for some reason, Australia hooked up with them to start sending refugees to this place. And they send the worst refugees, the ones they don't want to bring into Australia, they send to Nauru. And so Nauru's got all these refugees from Iran and other places in the Middle East, you know, those places that are, you know, on the red hot list of, you know, don't let them in your country kind of. But you know what's happening? The church in Nauru is like amazing. And they are, the Assembly of God work is just really, they see a mission field. They don't see, oh, we don't want them. They see a mission field, and they're like baptizing Iranians. As a matter of fact, I was just with some friends. I just came back from Asia, just Thursday, believe it or not. And I was with some friends who were in Taiwan, and they said, you know what? We met some guys that came from Nauru, but they're from Iran. And they got sick, and so Nauru sent them for medical care to Taiwan, and they came to the church, and they gave their testimony, and they're encouraging people, because they got radically saved, like, through this. Isn't that cool? Like, that's little Nauru. You have to know you can drive around Nauru. It's like 14 miles around. That's it. It's tiny. It's like the tiniest little place, but it's a whole nother people group. And you know, the church is doing a good job, but there's some things that we really want to help. We want to get alongside them and stand by them. They don't have any missionary help, and there's things that I believe God wants us to do. So God's put a passion on my heart from His Word for the little ones. And I want to share with you this morning some words of Scripture from Psalm 78. And I think sometimes we overlook this, and I think we need to, as a church, we need to pay attention to what God's Word says. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 6, and you'll see where God says it's important, this is like number one important, that you teach your children the ways of God. You teach your children the Word of God, the commands of God. As a matter of fact, he said this to parents. And I know he said it to parents because he's talking about the home. He says, I want you to talk to your kids about the Lord, about God, about His commands when you get up in the morning. Okay? Pastor's not coming to your house to do that. Okay? And when you sit at your table, I want you to do that. When you walk along the way, I want you to tell your kids about God. And when you go to sleep at night, I want you to tell your kids about God. You see, God gave commands that we are to teach our children the ways of the Lord. And I want to say, you know, God doesn't want us to just teach our kids Bible stories. Bible stories are great. God doesn't just want us to teach Sunday school lessons. Sunday school lessons are great. But God wants us to win our children to God. He wants to see that our children are living for God as well. So we need to win children. Children need to know Jesus as their own personal Savior. It has been said God has no grandchildren. Because you see, your children aren't just an automatically let's catch them in there. No, they too need to come to a time and a place, sooner is better than later, where they say, Jesus is mine, He's my Savior, and I need Him to forgive me of my sins, and I need to walk with Him. And our children not only need to come to Christ, but they need to be discipled. They need to be taught how to pray, and how to worship God, and how to read the Word for themselves and apply it in their lives. And we need to be diligent about this. And that's what these verses talk about. And Psalm 78 says this. It says, "Oh, my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying. For I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. Stories we have heard and known. Stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation." I'm going to say that right there. We will tell them. We're going to tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children. Amen? So the next generation might know them. Even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Amen? And I come away from that saying, God, I hear you. And we will tell them. We will tell them. We will tell them. We're going to tell the children. We're going to show them. We're going to show them who God is. We are not going to overlook. You know, sometimes children are the most forgotten mission field in the world because we're so busy speaking to the important adults that we overlook the little ones. Just like those disciples who said, oh, the master's too busy. But Jesus said, no, bring them to me. And he's still saying, bring them to me. He's still saying, bring them to me. Church, we need to be bringing our children to Jesus. Amen? I'm reminded of a passage in the book of Judges that says this. It says, after that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things that he had done for Israel. I hear that and I go, whoa. You see, here's God's people. They knew about God, they walked with God, they knew the things of God, they knew the commands of God, but they never took the time to pass it on to their children. And the day came when they all died off, and here's a younger generation who didn't walk with God. And because of that, if you read on in that chapter, it's detestable, the things you read. They worshiped Baal. They did detestable things in the eyes of God. They turned from God. They were the most ungodly generation. And when I look at America today, I fear that in many cases, this is what's happening. In many cases, the church is not paying attention to their own children. And I tell you what, the enemy is paying attention to your children. And he is pulling the life out of them. And if we don't get proactive, if we don't wake up to the commands of God, if we don't pay attention to what God has called us to do, then our children are going to be like these children we just read about. The enemy's working overtime. Overtime. If you're a mom, if you're a dad, if you're a grandparent, God has put children in your care. He has given you a great responsibility, not just to make sure that they're clothed and fed and go to good schools and play soccer on Thursday afternoons and sometimes on Sundays, God help us. God has given us a responsibility to raise them up in the ways of God. And parents, I challenge you today. I challenge you. Don't let your kids slip away. You need to be proactive. You need to get on your face before God. God, help me. Give me wisdom. How do I reach my children? I want to start talking about the Lord. If that's not what you do in your house, if you're not sitting at your table talking about the Lord to your kids, if God is not a part of your everyday home, then I tell you what, your kids are going to slip away. And so we need to wake up, because this is scary stuff. This is really scary stuff. I mean, what do you want most for your children? God, help us to focus on you. We want our kids to serve you. We want our kids in eternity with us, amen? And I dare say that we as a church, we need to come alongside parents, don't we? And we need to do a lot of teaching. We need to help parents. I'm not a mom. I've never been a parent. I've never had my own children. And yet I know that God has raised me up to help the church to wake up to this. Parents, we need to rise up. But church, we need to come along, parents, because I tell you what, it is a hard task. And that's why we have our programs in our church. We have our Sunday school. We have our children's church. We do our outreach programs. Why? Because we want to come alongside parents, and we want to make sure these children truly walk with God. Amen? Will you say this with me? We will tell them. Say it with me again. We will tell them. We will tell them. God help us. And in the islands, we will tell them as well. As a matter of fact, when I say we, I'm excited because God's building a team. And I think he's doing a whole lot more than I even know about. I hope so. You know, for years, I've worked mostly alone. Most of you know that. It's like been me on an island, and I work with a local church, and that's great. But those days are over because, man, we got a whole area to reach, you know, this whole region of Micronesia, and I can't do it all. As a matter of fact, I start looking at myself, and I say, God, I'm kind of getting up there in age, you know? I'm not old yet. But I'm getting there, and so like it's time to start winding down, right? And he says, no, it's time to start passing the baton. It's time to start pouring yourself into others who will do the same. Amen. In whole new ways, in exponential ways. And I'm really excited. This I'm introduced to you. This is Brenda and Francisco. They're from El Salvador. Isn't that cool? And they are missionaries with, they grew up in a ministry called King's Castle. Castillo del Rey. I don't know if you've heard of anything about El Salvador missions, but they are doing amazing things in reaching kids, and these kids grew up in that. And they've been serving on the island nation of Tonga out in the Pacific, but they just signed up. They're with me. They're on my team. And I'm so excited. And they are young and have a whole lot more energy than I do, but they're going to work with me, and I'm so excited. I also have a young girl. I'm not putting her picture up here yet because it's not official, but she's about to graduate from Valley Forge, and she's already been out to visit us. She's a Jersey girl. She spent about six, seven weeks with us about a year and a half ago. Loved Kushai, loves the islands. She's actually been with me on Ponape as well, which I'll tell you a little bit about that in a minute. And I don't know who else, but I'm talking a lot of people. And I believe that God's going to continue to raise up a team for reaching children, but like for reaching youth, for helping our churches and church planting, for training pastors. I mean, the needs are endless. I'm telling you, they are endless. But we want to be available. And I feel like God is just causing all of this to explode. So we're going to tell them. Yep, we're going to tell us. Crazy kids in the village of Utwe. Yeah, we're going to tell them. And when we pass them along the road, we're going to tell them. Yeah, we're gonna share with those little girls in church so that they know not just about Jesus, but know him in their own hearts. Amen? And so with all of this, God has said, okay, guess what? I'm moving again. And so I came back in August. And just before I did, I moved to an island called Ponape. Now, Ponape is in the same country as Kushai. It's another one of those states of the Federated States of Micronesia. But Ponape is actually located a little bit better. It's a little bit more central. And so there's my little fourth island in Micronesia. It's more central, and there's more flights. There's more frequent flights, so I can get to all those other different places. And so I'm excited about that. I don't know if I'm going to, I guess I need to learn a little bit of a new language. I already learned 3 island languages. God help me. I can't learn them all. God knows that, but it's all right. It's all right. But we are going to make a difference, and we're going to tell them. Yeah. We're going to see those kids at the marketplace, and we're going to tell them, hey, you know, Jesus loves you. And we're going to work on our youth as well. There's that lady. There's a sleeping lady. I don't know if you can see her there. Head to the right, laying down. She's kind of got her, yeah, anyway, and her hands there. Anyway, sleeping lady, wake up, Lady Grace on the islands. But we want to reach the youth as well, because you know what happens? Sometimes we pour into the little ones, and I was finding that there was this major gap, because we'd pour into the little ones, and then they get a little too old for the little kid stuff, and we started losing them. And as a matter of fact, it's about 3 years ago now that God just put on my heart to start working with the youth. And I fought with God. I was like, God, I'm not a youth pastor. This is not my gifting. And then I finally felt a little rebuke from the Lord, because those words kept coming out of my mouth, you know. And God said, you know, you're who I say you are. I am who you say I am, right? And I was like, okay, God, we got this. And he walked with me. So I'm not the typical youth pastor, nice and young and active, but poured into these lives of these kids, because we can't afford to let them slip away. We really can't. And So we really need to work with our youth as well. The needs are just so vast. It's just incredible. And I just thank God for allowing me to do that. And I love it because the church really caught the vision. And when I left, they said, oh, we can't let this go, you know. And so now we've got some others in the church who have stepped up and are reaching our youth and reaching our kids. Amen. So we're going to tell them. And we're going to watch those little ones respond. We're going to tell them and we're going to love on them and we're going to help them to see who Jesus really is. So church, here I am. And one more time, because I know you're already in. You're already in. You're already my partners. You're already my family. You're already part of what God is going to do. But I am going to ask you more than ever before to pray with me. Because I tell you what, this thing is big. And sometimes it scares the daylights out of me because, like, God, how do I do this? And I think my mind is just running in 1,000 directions. And how do I accomplish all this? But I know that God has set this on my heart. And I know that he doesn't set us up to fail. And I know that he is challenging my heart to step up, not to step down. And that he has a plan for each of these nations and territories throughout Micronesia. He has a plan to see his church grow. He has a plan to see children reached, youth reached, the church grow, and the word of God to be spread like never before. So I'm calling on you to pray and to pray specifically. Okay? Pray for the Pacific Islands, would you? Would you pray for Micronesia? And I'm actually going to ask you, on the back there, I got my little display, and I've got prayer cards there, so pick up a prayer card. You know those? Don't you love how missionaries are always passing out pictures of themselves? But I need your prayers, and if this will serve as a reminder for you to pray, then yay, okay? And then I got the kids on the back because I want you to pray for those kids in Micronesia. Would you do that? And so grab one of those. I like one pastor said, put it where you'll see it the most. Whichever you open most, your refrigerator or your Bible. Okay, so whatever. You know, if you want to take two because you open them both a lot, that's fine too. But I challenge you to pray. And I also have a list back there. If you're not already getting my newsletters, we can easily do that by email, okay? If you're going to pray, then you need to know specifically how to pray, right? And those are going to come through my newsletters, okay, more than anything. Sometimes I do some stuff on Facebook. You want to friend me on Facebook? I'll accept you, sure, absolutely. And I do share some things there, but especially those newsletters. So you'll want to make sure you get your name and your email address on there. And if by chance you're one of those people who's still not doing email, that's okay. I get it. I wish I didn't have to do email. Oh. But if that's you and you're committed to pray, then give me your snail mail address there too, and we'll put you on that list because that's not a problem. Okay? So I call on you to pray. I'm also going to call on you to give. And I am 25 years into this, and I have never done this until this furlough. God said, Diane, I'm asking you to do more. I want you to ask my people to give more, to do more. And so I'm just putting out that challenge, you know. If God puts that on your heart, or if you feel a tug on your heart, or, man, just if you can, you know, what can you do to give more? And it might be giving more time in prayer, and that's awesome. I do not belittle that. I need that. But financially, you can imagine the cost of going to all these different islands. I was in a church last fall here in New Jersey, and I was with the kids that morning. And I had one little boy, he's about 8, 9 years old, and he raised his hand. I gave him a chance to ask questions, and he said, Miss Diane, how much does it cost to fly to the other islands? And, the answer to that is, like, it depends on where you're going. But I answered generally to him, and I said, well, it costs hundreds of dollars, because it really does. And I said, it's pretty expensive, isn't it? And he said, it is, but isn't it worth it? And here this 9-year-old kid had me melt on the floor, because it is worth it. And I said, you're worth it, and you're worth it, and you're worth it, and those kids in Micronesia are worth it. And so I challenge you, because they're worth it, because Jesus says they're worth it, that you would be a part of this in a greater way than ever before. Can I say that? Is that okay? Can I ask that of brothers and sisters? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Don't give more than you're able, but as God leads, please be faithful to that. Why? Because we invest in kingdom business, and God just, he covers us. Amen? Amen. And then the last thing, I'm doing another I don't do this thing. I'm going to challenge you to go. Now, I don't know any of you very well, but I know that God is raising up a team for Micronesia. And he's raising up people who are willing to say, okay, I'm going to set aside what I thought was my plans for my life, and I'm going to say yes to the call of God. I'm going to put it aside, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do instead of what I want to do. And I'm seeing people like Brenda and Francisco and this other young woman saying, I don't want to do all that other stuff. I want to give my life. I want to learn a new language, and I want to pour myself into people there. And I don't know who's sitting here this morning and is hearing my voice, but it could be that there's someone right here this morning that God is tugging on your heart to do something courageous for him. And maybe, just maybe, God would want you to take part in more than just praying and giving. Maybe, just maybe, God wants you to go. And you might be thinking about, I don't know how to do that. Well, you know what? I didn't know how to do that either. But when God says go, he prepares us, and he puts us in a place where we get to learn, and he teaches us, and his Holy Spirit is real and good and faithful. And I'm going to challenge you. As a matter of fact, I've got some cards back there, and these are specifically related to people who might consider coming. And the first card says, get your feet wet. You know what get your feet wet means? It means make a missions trip out there. Come on out for a couple weeks or a couple of months. Come on out and come alongside what we're doing and get a good glimpse for yourself. Come and see what it's really all about. And I don't know if your church does church missions trips. Come to Micronesia. I'm not going to tell you it's cheap. I'm not going to tell you it's easy. But I'll tell you that if God leads, and he will provide, and that he will go before you, and that he will make you a blessing. Get your feet wet. And some of you might even be beyond that, and you might want to do like I did, and you might want to give even more time. Like when I first went, I was like, I don't want to go just for a little time. God called me. And so I went, we call this explore, and this is to go as a missionary associate. And as a missionary associate, you commit to 1 to 2 years, and you're going to commit to start learning a language, and you're going to come alongside a missionary like me or other missionaries that might be in the Pacific, and you're going to come alongside, and you're going to get involved, and there's all kinds of opportunities. What's your gifting? I don't know. God knows. But I challenge you. Maybe God wants you to come and explore, to give a year and pray about a lifetime. Maybe God wants you to go. Or maybe, just maybe, you've already known the call of God. Maybe the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart, and you know that it's time to let go of everything. It's time to dive in. It's time to really make a difference. And I, you know, only God knows. But if you're interested in any of these three ways, whether it's for a short term, if it's for a year or two, or if it's to say, hey, I know God's called me to missions, I need to get on board and give my life, then I want you to make sure you see me this afternoon before I leave, okay? Let's just talk. Let's get in communication. Let's make a connect. Because it might just be that out of this church, there would be someone who would come and join that team. Amen? Amen. Thank God. Thank God for what he's doing. We will tell them. I ask you to pray, and I ask you to give, and I ask you to go. And that's all about Micronesia. But I also ask you to join me in this chorus that says, God, we're going to tell them. We will tell them. And I challenge you, for this community, for Kearney, New Jersey, you know the needs here far better than I do. You know the kids in your neighborhood far better than I do. You know the children in your family, those children that you have influence over. And I want to challenge you as a church and as an individual, that you would see the need of a child, that they need far more than just food and clothes. You know, there is an organization, I don't know if you've heard of this, it's called the 414, it's a movement, the 414 movement. And we used to talk about the 440 window. Have you heard of that? the 440 window. Like it used to be, we used to talk about that, and that's like a geographical area in the world that is particularly non-Christian and that we really need to reach them. But the 414 window isn't about geography, it's about age. And it talks about a window of time where we have the opportunity to reach children, particularly from the age of 4 to 14. And the reason we say that is because we see something that begins to happen in our lives. How many of you know that it's the heart of a child is soft? Amen? Amen. Unless they've really been broken, the heart of a child is soft. They're believing. They listen and they learn. But it seems like the older kids get, the less open they are. And so we want to take advantage of that open window, which is the heart of a child. And we want to give them the opportunity to know Jesus. Statistics will say, and they're not our enemy. Statistics are not our enemy. But statistics will say that most people give their heart to Jesus as children. They begin a walk with God, not when they're 35. Now, there are exceptions, I get that. But most, it happens when they're children, which means we want to make sure we reach them at that age. Let's not overlook them. Let's not overlook them. Amen? Let's tell them. We will tell them. Say it with me. We will tell them. Will you do that? Will you tell them? Will you help reach the children where you are? Your mission field might not be Micronesia, but it might be your own neighborhood. It might be where you work. It might be where you teach. It might be where you go shopping. I don't know, but let's be open to what God would have us to do and to open our hearts. Amen? And I want to pray for you this morning. Can I pray for you? God, I thank you for this church. I thank you, Lord God, because I've sensed from the moment I came in this morning such an incredible sensitivity to your Holy Spirit. And I thank you for that, Lord God. And I pray, God, that this word from your word, God, that says we will tell them, we will tell the next generation. God, I pray that it would be a challenge to each and every one here. God, some are parents, some are aunts and uncles, Lord God. Some are grandparents, Lord God. Some are neighbors to children, Lord God, or maybe even work in some kind of child care, Lord. But I pray, oh God, in Jesus' name that you would help them to use their sphere of influence amongst children, Lord God, not just to say how cute they are or not just to help their physical welfare, which is very important as well, Lord God, but to help them spiritually that they will know who you are, Jesus, that we would not lose this opportunity. And so, God, I pray that even this week, Lord God, you would challenge them, your Holy Spirit would nudge them, Lord God, you would give them opportunities, Lord God, and you would help them especially in their homes, Lord God, to share Christ with their children. God, help them, Father God, that together we would not allow a generation to be lost, Lord God. And God, help us to pray. Help us to pray. Help us to pray. God, thank you for these, my brothers and sisters here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.